My view of the system as it stands is that it is to the future what the horse and buggy was in the 18th century. Like, it just, it doesn't, it has a life span that's on the downward spiral, you know? And I don't abide the idea that one man has all the answers or solutions. It's an absurd notion to think that. And you can only relate to what you can relate to. Your reference points, like, I don't feel like that guy has enough reference points to even... It's kind of like if you're Michael Jackson, man, you don't know what the fuck life looks like.
Yeah.
Not Michael Jackson, right? Yeah. Your reference points are so skewed in relationship to what would people would consider normal life, right? Mm-hmm. That unless you have those reference points, you just can't relate. But that's your linear mind. So, I mean, kind of the deeper thing is... I think, again, going back to the war of words, that's, we have to move way past this, the cerebralness of our culture. Like my buddy, who is a consummate adventurer and, you know, just very wise individual, well-traveled, very worldly guy. He always separated things into, or cultures into head cultures and heart cultures, right? Mm. Western is very head oriented, very logic, reason, right? Which you should have. I mean, I'm not bagging on that. But then there's heart cultures, which are tend to be like the indigenous cultures that we know. And when you find a nice balance of those, you find a pretty even keel, humanistic, values oriented culture. If it's extreme one way or the other, like in Papua New Guinea, it's like from tribe to tribe, if there's an offense, like somebody could come and just, you know, machete your arm off in payback, right? Or I mean, yeah. It can be really hardcore, but and it's inflammatory. It's like, there's no sense of like, let's talk this out, right? It's just like, no, I'm offended. Therefore something must be done, you know, and it's usually violent, right? Yeah. And then it can be far swung the other way too, where it's like, there's not enough action. There's too much talking. The talking is all rational and logical, and it's not accounting for people's depth. Mm-hmm. What's going on in here? I think culturally we're moving much more into a heart oriented way of having to from work in the world, because I think that our reason and logic has been at the expense of a lot of really important things, and those are just simple things like our relationships to each other, our relationships to the earth, our relationships to like what genuinely gives us satisfaction on a day-to-day basis. We've been so stripped of that because the Industrial Revolution really started that, you know? I mean, and when you're in survival mode, you know, that's what you're thinking about. Like, fuck, I got to get my kids out on the farm. We got to do this crop. Who knows if the weather's going to hold? My cow's sick, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it goes with that. And then it's like industrial age. Oh, abundance. Like if I go to my job 8-10 hours a day, I can afford the house in the burbs and the new car and, you know, raise money. We just get these indoctrination models, right? And then we just drag that baggage along. But all of that stuff has been on the backs of something, either on the backs of other humans or it's been on the backs of the planet, back of the planet itself. It's just merciless consuming, you know, that consumerist mentality. So I think, you know, short answer is like, I would like to dose that guy with psilocybin or ayahuasca or something like that, because I think he needs a reference well beyond what language can convey. Mm. And I think pretty much every politician in Washington could do with the same. And the great thing about that is that the more disconnected you are from your heart, the more horrifying those experiences are. Which
bad
is
trips.
Bad trips. Yeah.
You had bad trips?
No.
No.
Not really.
Interesting.
I mean, because first of all, I didn't go into it until later.
Yeah.
So there was a maturity and an awareness.
You were grounded
already. It was grounded. And I had already had a really intense, basically, for lack of a better, like, transcendental meditation experience that shot me into the ether of undifferentiated consciousness and pure love, dissolving into a sea of pure love, right? It's total woo.
Yeah.
But that was the feeling, and it was a visceral feeling, a cellular thing that I took back into my body that I was just buzzing from, and there was no substance involved at all, right? But what I realized is, like, A, that can become your next drug, so then you spend all your time trying to get back to that,
right?
Not the point. and B, that it was meant to just ground me further in a sense of what's possible, without having to make that something I have to chase around. Like, it's just like, okay, now you know, this is where it's at. You know, this is what the other side feels like. And that feeling component is the thing I think that we as a culture need to dial into. Because, like, when you have people, like you said, man, like the internet, it's people just battling and saying shit they would never say to each other in person.
Right.
You know? And not understanding, like these are the bricks, you know. It's like, oh, I believe this, and now I have this brick that is like part of my foundation that I need to defend against the enemy. But when we strip away most of that stuff, we do realize how much we really are just trying to get the same things, you know. As extreme as that can be, I mean, from culture to culture, I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, the race thing is like such an obviously big issue, and it seems to has these ebbs and flows of like inflammatory, you know, and then it kind of backs off a little bit, and then somebody inflames it with more fodder, you know. But it's like, I think mostly what people are actually struggle with is culturalism or culturism. Like, it's like, oh, you know, because if you're loaded, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
It's like very rich true. People from here and rich people from Saudi Arabia seem to get on just fine, right?
Right.
You know? So it's like, it's not so much of that. It's more like, okay, where is there a cultural thing that is abrasive to my own sentiments and feels like a threat to me? Mm-hmm. But again, these things they feel like a threat because you've got something to defend, you know? If you stop having to have to be right about whatever your thing is, your belief about God, your belief about politics, your belief, when you stop having to defend those things, it's like, what's left? It's just beingness. It's just like, okay, do I have food? Do I have water? Do I have, you know? And yeah, it does. Like, for a long time, I sort of disconnected broadly. Just same, like, fuck it. Like, I don't have a dog in the fight. Yeah. And after I had that experience with the meditation,
that sentiment that I shared might be a part of the overall arc.
Yeah.
For most people, it's like step number 8.
Yeah.
You know, and I still got a long way to chart as well. But, yeah, I don't know what those next steps are going to be, but it sounds like it's relatable maybe.
Anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I'm trying to remember what the source is, but essentially it was like the idea of enlightenment, let's say, was to, and I think there's a reference for that, it's kind of be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves or something, like gentle as a dove. That's a scriptural reference. But essentially it was this idea of knowing and accepting the full horror of the human experience, or the mammal experience, not just the human experience, but the consciousness that we bring to it adds to the horror of it potentially if you take that in.
Yeah.
Right. So to be with that and yet not be destroyed by it. Cause it's like so many people I know would rather just keep their head in the sand. Like, I don't want to talk about those things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in full denial of those things.
Right.
If the, you know, the economy is in collapse or the ecology is in collapse, like, I just don't want to go there because it's too depressing. Right. So they just want to avoid that subject.
Yeah.
But it's like, you gotta, you know, as like an alcoholic, you gotta admit there's a problem.
Right.
You gotta start there.
Yeah.
And is it who's it a problem for?
Right.
Well, okay, that's humans, right? Every other species, right? And there's going to be winners and losers on all of those fronts, right? Yep. So the kind of enlightened, I guess, approach would be like, okay, these things are happening. As a bodhisattva, your job is to sort of become enlightened and then return to help liberate other people. Well, what does that look like? It means giving them a reference point that allows them to feel their security from a source other than the world. It's simple as that.
That's true.
Your security has to rely, and you know, if you're a Christian, that would be Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. If you're Islam, you know, it'd be Muhammad. Your faith in that otherworldly thing, being or identity or like philosophy, like that's the thing that you connect to, and that gives you a sense of, oddly enough, groundedness, right? For me, it's interesting because, like, I don't know, like, that, and I was really troubled by that. I spent a lot of time trying to know, to like the I want the definitive answer, and when I realized like that game is not winnable, like my brain is not capable of knowing the truth. Mm-hmm. Right? I have to surrender to the mystery.
Right.
That was the most liberating thing ever. And it's the most terrifying because your moral compass is utterly destroyed. In the process of losing yourself and surrendering that, the sky's the limit. Good, bad, or indifferent. You can go any direction you want to go. And there's no longer the fear of retribution. It's like, yeah, well, I could do this thing and other humans would judge me and maybe they'll throw me in prison or maybe they'll hang me because I've done this heinous thing in their eyes. But I'm not worried about God. I'm not worried about hell. I'm not worried about any of those things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, in a sense, you become a sociopath. Like, that's how you would pathologize it, right?
Yeah, sure.
But then after that sort of sifts out, you're just sort of left with a blank canvas. And then, like, what's really true for you starts to bubble to the surface. Like, with that clarity starts to allow you to create from a place of, I don't know if you want to say surrender, oddly, you know, or a place that feels more in alignment with what's true than what has been handed to you generation after generation that you're just carrying around because that's what we do, right?
Well, I mean, can we condense that into a pamphlet, you know, or is that
no.
a journey that has to be
that journey
lived
has to
thoroughly?
Be everyone has to take their own road. Like, that's the trip. There's no one size fits all. There isn't, like, you have to like, that's the hero's journey. That's the Joseph Campbell stuff. That's yeah. the, like, you've got to be willing to stand on the cliff and look into the void and jump, not knowing what's down there.
Yeah.
And trust that in that process, you will be transformed into another being, you know, another version of that. And that's something, honestly, that has to continually take place. Like, I was talking about the deathbed confessional. Like, that's a practice yeah. that I do to, like, reorient my compass.
How do you know when to do it?
It just starts to build up, you know. It's like, I'm just so off course right now, and you can just feel it. I mean, for me, I just feel it in every cell of my body, you know. It's like, okay, so I have to take the time, create the space, and you know, maybe it's, you know, I've experimented. I started much later, but experimented with plant medicine kind of as a researcher. It was never like the, let's just use it to party, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, it was more sacred than that. Mm. And I, again, coming at it from a pure meditative standpoint, like not using any assistance, I felt like it was cheating. But then I realized after I experimented and explored it, I realized, like, it's not cheating. It's a whole different animal. These things have, you know, a gazillion years of data stored in their DNA.
It's technology,
isn't
it?
It's technology, man. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. And so you want to access that data, and each one of them is a different software, you know? Like, so you are getting windows in through that portal that are different from the others. And so, yeah, you use any of those things mindfully, and I think they can really have huge, huge impact. Really interested in the idea of what the lineage of our DNA contains and how we can activate that, like as almost like a portal without any substance, but really utilizing meditation and even sound waves, light waves, just like all of these kind of really cutting edge things to like start to awaken, you know, because so much of that stuff is just chilling. Yeah. You know, it's like switches that turn on and off. Environmental things cause those switches to turn on and off, like emotional things, how we relate or react to these experiences. That's like Jay Gould, I think it was called, punctuated equilibrium. So in terms of evolution, you know, a species may stay in a static evolutionary, like not much growth or movement or morphing or what do you call it, like a genetic mutation, not much mutation happening until something happens on the outside world. And then like shit's got to change or the species dies off. Something's got to start shaking and moving and, you know, and mutating to see like what iteration of us is going to move into the next generation, because clearly the environment that our previous generation started with and the DNA they had happening then is not going to fare well in this new environment.
Right.
And that's what we're doing now with all these technological things, you know, all these. So we got to figure out how to navigate that. But I think there's multiple roads that it can look like. It's not necessarily like these guys are going to win. This version of us is going to win. It's like right now we're in the Wild West.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of ways this thing can go. And we've got to collectively, I think, decide how we're going to do that. And to me, that's utilizing the technologies that our clever minds have created in a really wise and judicious way, which means we have to abandon in large part this idea that a scarcity is the fundamental baseline from which every decision is made, which is the money system, right? Greed, you know, consumerism, like all of this kind of stuff, and really reorient our value structure to say like, okay, what actually is the most important thing? Because there's plenty of research to say, what do people care about when they're taking their last breath? What are they're not thinking like, fuck, I wish I would have got that boat. You know, they're not, you know, it's like, they're thinking like, God, I wasted a lot of time amassing vast amounts of wealth, and I'm not against wealth, but like it's the conscious, like the one of the things that stuck with me as a kid was like, it was never about the thing, but the consciousness that you brought to the thing. And that was a very Eastern thing.
That's huge.
It's huge.
Oh yeah. I think about that even now for sure.